those in the first service, if they remember the moment that the burden of their heart was rolled away. Do you remember, child of God? Do you remember what that was like? To trust in Jesus, to receive His forgiveness, to have the burden of sin and death lifted off your shoulders? I encourage you in this moment right now, go back and think about the moment in which Christ saved you. If it doesn't bless your heart, I honestly don't know, church, what will. Jesus saves. Amen. My name is Luke, one of the pastors here at Holly Chapel. So grateful that you are with us this morning. Last week, if you remember, we're in our sermon series called Staying Focused in This New Season. And last week we talked about church unity and really just bragged on you as a church, Holland Chapel, for the unity that we are experiencing. But we also recognize that when a church is experiencing precious unity, there's an adversary that hates it that wants to bust this church up. And that's Satan. And so we need to make sure that we are continuing to pursue the precious unity that we are experiencing now. And also there at the end, if you remember, we tagged on to that message, pray for, support, and encourage your church leaders in the new season. And I've got to brag on you there. So many of you called, text, email, letter, you name it, encouraged me and also the other pastors and ministry leaders here. So I just want to say thank you so much. We really do appreciate your encouragement. Keep the encouragement coming. But today is really a tag end to the sermon series where I want us to kind of change the wording a little bit. But here's how I want you to maybe write this down if you're a note taker. How do I make sure that I'm focused and ready for Easter? It's 1 week away. Church, are you ready for Easter? Not convincing me. Are you ready for Easter, church? Like, why do the people of God make such a big deal about Easter? That's the day, church, that we celebrate that our God did not stay dead, but He rose from the grave. Amen, child of God. That's the day we worship Him and celebrate a risen Savior. But so much happens on Easter that, quite frankly, I'm excited about. I'm excited about Easter pictures. Sarcasm. So much I'm excited for. I love all the people being here gathered on Easter Sunday. It just seems like the day that the schedules clear out, that we can all gather as a church, finally on one Sunday, right? Man, this church fills up. It's also the day that so many lost people are finding their way to church, whether it's to make grandma happy or spouse happy or whatever the situation may be. But so many people are here and they get to hear the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm so excited about that. But church, let me say this. We need to make sure that our hearts as a church are ready for what God hopefully is going to do on Easter Sunday. We need to make sure that we're ready. But not just Easter Sunday, today as well, tomorrow and every single day. We need to make sure that our hearts are ready for worship. We need to make sure that our hearts are ready to receive what God has for us. Church, do you believe that God has something amazing in store? Do you believe that? Yes. Are you ready? That's a big question. Several years ago, I was preaching at just a big old church, had a giant stage, and they had like so many ornate instruments on stage. I mean, just scattered everywhere. So many instruments. I don't even know what they're called, but they were super fancy. And I was backstage getting ready to come out, and the worship pastor was back there, and I was looking around this room, and up on the wall, it was this big digital readout of all these numbers and temperatures and pressures, and I was like, man, are we running a battleship? Like, what is this? And he was like, man, so much of what you're seeing there is picking up the conditions of the worship room. Why? Is what I asked. Well, why? He said, well, that particular one is hardwired all the way in to the piano. They had a big, giant, fancy piano. I said, why? Why? What are we doing there? He was like, man, I need you to hear me. He said, the conditions of the room change. They fluctuate. And when the conditions of the room change, it can throw off the tune of the piano. Did y'all know that? I learned something that day. But did you hear the story? You see, the condition, the outside conditions affected the tune of the piano. How does that relate to us spiritually? Outside conditions of your life can affect you spiritually. Do you believe that? How often, church, do we bring in outside conditions into this gathering and they throw off the tune of our heart? So much so, listen to me, that we miss worship altogether. That the tune of our heart has been thrown off so much by life that we miss worship. Have you found yourself there before? And listen, this is where the list can be exhaustive of all the conditions that we experience. I think by and large, for a Western culture, we're simply too busy to worship God. We fill our schedule with so much that we fly in here on two wheels. We need the preacher to be done in 30 minutes so I can get out of here on time and head to my next event. And during that time, my heart is so far away from being focused on God that I miss Him altogether. That's just one thing that gets in the way. That's busyness. But there's so much more in life, too, that can throw off the tune of our heart. You ever been grieved? You ever been depressed? You ever been anxious? You ever been tired? It's really hard to focus when you're tired, isn't it? Maybe for you right now, you need to think about whatever condition it is that you're dealing with that's throwing off the tune of your heart, that's preventing you from worship. Satan wants us distracted. He wants the tune of our heart to be thrown off. He wants to fill your schedule with busyness. He wants to wreak havoc in your life so that the conditions that are surrounding your heart will throw off your worship of a holy God. That's what he wants. So today, here's the challenge. Can we just be honest with ourselves and maybe speak to the condition that we're dealing with? And maybe say, you know what, God, maybe Satan is trying to use that to distract me of my worship. Maybe I have filled my schedule to the point where it's just overflowing, that there seems like there's minimal time for worshiping you. And even when there is, I'm distracted about the next thing, that I can't focus on you. Can we just be honest this morning and say there are some outside conditions that are affecting the tune of our heart? Need you to be honest with yourself. And once we figure out what that is, then we can do something with it. But we need to be aware this morning that there are some things that can throw off the tune of our heart. Are you ready? Are you ready to receive what the Lord has for you? Not just for Easter Sunday, so that we can be ready as a church, but today and tomorrow and the next day. Here's what I want you to write down. There's going to be two real simple points in the message this morning. I want you to write this down. We need to tune our hearts to receive. I asked it earlier, I'm going to ask it again. Church, do you believe that God has something for you to receive today and tomorrow and the next? Do you believe it? We need to make sure that our hearts are tuned and ready to receive. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to read 19 through 22. And in this verse, church, there's so much. We're going to try our best to work through it. Hebrews chapter 10, 19 through 22. It says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place." I'm going to make sense of this in just a minute if you're lost. "And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. What's happening here? It's really hard for us to understand the importance and the magnitude of the sacrifice of Jesus without understanding some of the Old Testament ways of worship and sacrifice. Well, what's happening here is in the Old Testament days, if you were of Jewish descent, you were God's chosen people. What you had to do, if you wanted to go to the temple and offer a sacrifice, you had to kill whatever it is that you had to kill, and you had to bring it to the altar. And there at the altar, the priest then would take your sacrifice and go in to what was called the Holy of Holies. It was covered by a curtain. You see, we, average Joes, couldn't go in to the presence of God. That was reserved for the priest. And what happened here in Hebrews 10 is that we are seeing the full picture of what the sacrifice of Jesus did for you and I. Now, because of the blood of Jesus and what he did on the cross, I don't have to go to anybody. I can go straight to God. And the people of God said, amen. Because Scripture calls him our great high priest. That's what Jesus does for you and I. We now have a direct line of worship with God Almighty. What a privilege that is for the children of God. But here's the problem. We have this privilege of 24/7 unhindered worship, yet we don't take advantage. Why? Because we're distracted. We don't take advantage of this privilege because we've allowed all the outside conditions to throw off the tune of our hearts. And we're missing God. We're missing this benefit of constant worship because of the surroundings that we're dealing with. We've allowed this, we've allowed that, you name it, whatever it is, to throw off our hearts. And we can't go into that constant presence of God because we're distracted. We're out of tune. We're missing what's so precious in our life. We need to make sure that we are ready to receive what God has for us. And here's what I don't mean. I don't mean that receiving what God has for you on Sunday is that Keaton sang your favorite song. Now, I know it's awesome, right? Man, when they just know what's going on in your heart, they know what you've been jamming out to on the radio, and you walk in here and they sing it, you're like, yes, Lord, today is for me. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, man, when the sermon is just like it was written for you. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you being ready to receive and walk into the presence of God, worshiping him because of what Jesus did for you. You can do that all the time, regardless of what's happening, regardless of what's saying, regardless of what's preached. Man, you can worship because you're worshiping the one that made the way. And you're not focused on the conditions. But man, we got to be dialed in, don't we? We got to be ready. Do y'all remember the old dial radios? Can y'all think that far back? Some of you are like, man, what are you talking about? I still use that in my shop right now. Y'all remember the dial radios? I remember going fishing with my dad, and he had just this old busted up radio down in the boat. He'd be like, hey boy, dial up some point 94.1. Where are you at? The point 94.1 people. Nowhere. Man, you take that radio and you set it up, you know, boom, because it's big. And then you gotta get the light just right on the radio to see the needle and the worn-off numbers. Am I preaching to anyone? Do you know what I'm talking about? Man, you got the worn-off numbers, and your dad's putting some pressure on you. And he's like, man, you better find 94.1. I want to hear some Eagles. And you're just dialing, and it's ksh, 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 ksh. Kids in here have no idea what I'm talking about. And it's just, ksh, ksh. And there it is. Down the street, you know? And you find it. You find it. Like you got it dialed in, and dad doesn't kick you off the boat. Took some effort. But you see, when the needle was exactly where it needed to be, you didn't hear the white noise. You didn't hear the fuzz. You heard a clear sound. Listen to me, child of God. It's no different for you and I in our worship. We've got to make sure that we're dialed in. We got to make sure that we're ready to receive. We got to make sure that we are looking through the commotion and the condition and the chaos, and we're focused on the one who made a way. But hear me out, child of God. This is not what I'm saying this morning. I'm not saying that for you to freely worship and be dialed in, you have to be happy. It's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying for you to worship that your heart can't be grieving. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that you have to have your depression figured out for you to be able to worship and be dialed in. Jonah was in the belly of a whale, and he still prayed to God. Listen to me, church. I cannot think of a more depressing situation for a human being to be in than inside the stomach of an animal. And he still worshiped. You don't have to have it all figured out to worship. You have to be focused on the one worthy of worship, and not focused on the condition that you find yourself in. Because if all you ever do is focus on the condition, the busyness, the schedule, the chaos, if that's all you ever do, it's going to throw off the tune of your heart time and time and time again. And you're going to miss God altogether. Make sure that you are dialed in, ready for worship so you can receive. The pastor, what am I trying to receive? Be a question on the screen. So what is there to receive in worship? You've made a real big deal about me having my heart right, ready to worship. What is it that I'm supposed to get? Let me read passage, Hebrews chapter 4, 14 through 16. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly, here it is, you ready? To the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. I want you to write this down. This is what I receive: God's mercy and God's grace. If you're a child of God this morning in desperate need of God's grace and his mercy, like raise one hand, raise two hands, jump up in your seat. I don't know. Where are you at? Do you need it? Do you need God's grace and God's mercy? Man, so many of us do, not just on Sundays, listen to me, but Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. I need him every day. I need his grace and I need his mercy. But so many of us are missing out on God's grace and mercy, not because he's ran out, church. My Father's storehouses never run dry. So many of us are missing grace and mercy. Why? Because we're distracted. Why? Because we're not freely worshiping him. Why? We're focused on everything else other than God. And we're missing grace and mercy. It's there. It's there. You're missing it because you're not ready to receive. You're not ready to worship. You're not dialed in. So God always provides mercy and grace to his children in worship. If you find yourself missing both of those, ask yourself, am I too distracted to worship? Focus on worshiping him and him alone. The next thing I want you to write down is that we need to be tuned in to respond. Our hearts need to be ready to respond, to receive and to respond. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. It says, then I heard the Lord asking, whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us? I said, here I am, send me. Very famous passage of Scripture. Famous ending there. Here am I, send me, Lord. But what I want you to notice about this particular passage, for us to get to that particular point, here am I, send me, something wonderful had to take place here. He had to hear from God. Listen to me. You can't respond until you hear. Are you hearing? Are you hearing from the Lord? I was in student ministry, and one of my just bewildering moments, it seemed like it happened all the time, is that we would take students to events. We would go, I don't know, reality weekend or church camp or guest speaker, you name it. And then after we had that wonderful spiritual moment where they heard the gospel and preaching and we all worshiped together, like we were all in that room together, like I know it. And then after it was over, we would go and we would have a debrief moment, right? You remember that time in student ministry, man, you just go, the student pastor's always there. What did you hear from the Lord? Right? Remember those moments? And it never fails. You've got one person over here that's just bawling, right? Like, I'm going to be a missionary in Africa, right? Like, man, they're just consumed with the Holy Spirit. And then there's a kid over here just playing hacky sack, right? You're like, what's the deal? Like, were we not in the same room hearing the same thing? You see, one person was hearing and the other wasn't. And listen to me, adults, it's no different for you and I. It's no different. Are you hearing? Like, everybody wants to respond, right? Everybody wants to be that one. Here am I, send me, Lord. But you can't be that way until you hear to begin with. But are you hearing from the Lord? Where's your heart at? Are your ears open to hear from Him? So many times in Scripture, we see the voice of God described as, especially in 1 Kings, as a still, small voice. Is your life too chaotic? Is the condition too overwhelming so that you can't hear His still, small voice? God's speaking to you. Can you hear Him? Can you hear Him? Are you ready to receive so that you can respond? Or is your mind focused on everything else other than God? It's going to be on the screen. It's going to hit a little hard. But I really want you to read it. It says you can be here and not be present. You can show up here every single week and miss God. Some of you have probably experienced that, not on that level, not on that scale of like just constant week after week, but you've probably been here on a Sunday when you're overwhelmed by a condition or a situation or a circumstance, and you're just on autopilot, and you're like, man, I don't remember anything. I don't know who was there. I don't know what we sang. Definitely don't know what Luke said. And you get in the car, and you're like, what was that about? Your heart wasn't dialed in. You weren't focused. You weren't ready to receive. You were allowing the condition to throw off the tune of your heart. And you missed it. I pray that we're a church, hear me out. I pray that we're a church that can get to the back half of that verse where we say, here am I, send me. But for us to get to that point, we have to hear. And listen, church, let's just speak practically about this gathering. Next week, I'm really excited for us. I'm really excited to see what God is going to do. And I really want this body of believers to be ready. To be ready to receive and to be ready to respond. But listen, that can only happen if this church, those in this room, have their hearts ready for God. Ready to hear Him. Ready to say, here I am, send me. So church, let me just say this. Whatever it is, not making light of the condition, but whatever it is, make sure that you can filter through it and focus on the one who saved your soul, and that's Jesus Christ. Are you focused on Him and him alone.